This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, your host, and joining us, our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of a company called Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders, and I'm sure he'll tell you more about that. You can go to his website, rippleconnects.com, or you can reach out to him by phone at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie is with us, and this is a really important month, National Family Caregivers and Careers Month. Good morning, Joe McKenzie.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. This is a really important month as we talk about how we really overcome some of the challenges that families go through every day.
Absolutely. Many of our New Beginnings listeners can relate to this, that we become the sandwich generation. We've helped elderly parents, and we may have helped our children or grandchildren. And so many of our listeners will resonate with the fact that unpaid family caregivers are an integral part of helping our elders age in place and how we provide those supports. And, you know, often it's people that are still in the midst of their careers that are caregivers, family caregivers. And I want to speak to that today because someone is going to walk away today knowing of some new resources, maybe some career recalibration strategies that are going to help them. I stepped back some years ago when my father was had memory issues, and I was able to provide, one day a week where I could be with him in his home in conjunction with my larger family. So I've lived that, and I know the importance of my dad being able to age in place and to support my older brother, who was the primary caregiver for him.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, and this is National Family Caregivers Month. And we're talking about people who are, it could be you, it could be me, you're suddenly thrust into caregiving. Where do you go for caregiver school, Joe McKenzie?
That's a great question. I think you just pick up the pieces and you just do what you know best, and address and talk to a lot of different people, but there are resources out there. Mm-hmm. I know that the AARP website can be a great resource for identify the resources for caregivers, advocacy for caregivers, local support for caregivers. I don't think you go to school as much as you learn what's out there. And I think that AARP website, someone that's thrust into that position will probably have to, identify some of those resources out there. No one goes to school for that. No one knows until they're in the midst of that what are the resources out there. And I think it's important for us to share that, that could be that first step, is the AARP website, to learn of local resources to support your efforts as a family caregiver.
There are a lot of resources out there, and it's really interesting. I think there are more personal caregivers, is what I'll call them, personal caregivers, people like you and me, than people really realize.
Yeah, there's millions in this country, and the numbers grow because as our society ages, the need for family caregivers is going to go up. Different generations are going to be impacted. I know that an AARP in the National Alliance for Caregiving report in 2015 said that 43% of family caregivers fell between the age of 50 and 64 years old. Wow. Now that is right. Most people between those ages are still in the workforce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here we're talking about providing family caregiving for somebody in your family, but you're still in the midst of your career. And so it's so important because there's so much that's being asked of you that you may have to give up or change or recalibrate just so you can provide that caregiving. And this situation plays out in many families every day in America. And I think we need to be mindful to make sure that we talk about these types of topics. It's okay to talk about how you recalibrate your career. It's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to, it should be known where to go to find this information.
Interesting. Do you think, everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about family caregiving. Do you think that with COVID over the last 19 months or so, that employers are a bit more understanding about caring for someone when we know that practically everyone knows of or has a personal relationship with someone who has become ill with COVID and the steps that you have to take to care for that individual?
I think so. I think employers have realized that in order to keep families cohesive and cared for, that just that ability to adapt your work life or your workload, it's not so much having to be in the office by 8 a.m. every day and staying here to 5 p.m. with the technology and be able to work remotely. I do believe employers have embraced more of a fluid or a flexible work schedule, and that would play into more opportunity for people in the midst of their careers to provide some level of family caregiving.
You mentioned earlier, everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, you talked about career recalibration when it comes to caregiving. What do you mean by that?
Sometimes we do have to recalibrate our careers to make it all work. It might look different. It may be where we've talked about job sharing roles, that maybe you have to adopt something different than you had to be a family caregiver, or just pulling back or a job change. I know I did for my father that I actually pulled back a little bit to be a part of that caregiving team. That was truly a recalibration on my end, but that was an opportunity for me to do that. But recalibrating your career when it's needed, the importance of being a family caregiver and balancing your own career is at stake here. And I think finding those resources, talking with your employer, talking with your family to make sure that everything remains in balance and not one thing suffers on the career side, because we know how important being a family caregiver is to that person that's needing that care. And I think knowing those resources, investigating on how you could find better balance with your careers, what types of questions could you ask your employer? What is awarded to me if I need to take some time? I think that is a fair approach to when you are thrust into being a family caregiver. What are your thoughts on that, Freddie?
I believe it makes a lot of sense. And also, I was just thinking as you were talking about that sometimes caregivers need help too. If you're caring for someone 24 hours a day, you're balancing the career during that same time, there has to be some help for the caregiver for that mental relaxation or that physical respite too.
Absolutely, Freddie. And if it's not available to you, you know, within your own family structure or extended family structure, you know, knowing that maybe that website that we talked about, the AARP website, may give you some new insights or even just some local resources that will allow that caregiver to get the rest needed to be an effective caregiver. That's a great point, because it's very taxing, mentally taxing and physically exhausting to be able to have all these areas of your life, all going at once. And so, yes, finding that resource or knowing how, first and foremost, knowing that every caregiver needs that rest. You cannot be an effective caregiver if you're the only one doing everything. And you, over time, it's gonna physically harm you if you do not get that rest.
We're resilient people, but every now and then we need that help. So if we were
That's
to take
right.
away something from this conversation today, and everyone, we're talking about family caregiving. This is National Family Caregiving Month, and we're talking about it this week. Before we go, what would be two things that we can do to make sure that we're understanding this whole issue of family caregiving?
First and foremost, knowing the utmost importance of the role that a family caregiver plays in people that are needing that, aging in place or other generations. But knowing that there's resources out there that you can look into to make sure that this works for you, and you can balance your career or recalibrate your career or find those resources to make sure that you have everything you need to be an effective family caregiver.
Okay. We got to leave it right there, Joe McKenzie. But if you like more information, as Joe McKenzie mentioned, go to AARP.org. And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
If you want to do more, gain more, or be more, that's prosperity, our point of focus. Even though abundance and prosperity is as vast as the ocean, you can only carry as much water as your container will hold. If you want to enjoy more, if you want to experience more, if you want to have more, you have to come to the party with a larger container. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get ready. You have to be in that moment and be ready to experience prosperity no matter how it comes. So when you come looking for water, bring the largest container you can find. And after you fill that container, be sure to share it with others. That's our point of focus, prosperity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and please welcome to our program an individual who does a lot of work with vaccine and vaccine equity and engagement, the Outreach Director for Vaccines for the State of Minnesota, Elizabeth Ebold, is with us. And vaccines have been approved virtually for everyone by the FDA and the CDC. Can you tell us about a new incentive program that's happening right here in River City?
Yes. So it's a good one in case your listeners haven't heard about it. So it's for our 12 to 17 year olds. They just launched last week and they're called Kids Deserve a Shot and comprised of two really great programs. So the first is that Minnesotans between the ages of 12 and 17 who start and complete their two dose vaccine series between October 18th and November 30th will be eligible to receive a $200 Visa gift card. Registration for that program begins November 9th at 8 a.m. Visit mn.gov/COVID-19/vaccine/vaccine-rewards. And that's how you'll register. You'll need a valid email address. And if you don't have one, that's okay. Or if you need additional help with the form, then you'll go ahead and call our helpline at 833-431-2053. The second program mm-hmm. is an opportunity to win one of five $100,000 college scholarships for the winners to attend any public or private nonprofit higher ed institution in Minnesota. Eligibility for that one is open right now to Minnesotans 12 to 17 years old who have completed their vaccination series at any time in 2021. So this could have been, you know, months ago that you completed your series. You're still eligible to get these college scholarships or, you know, register for this raffle. So it's great. The first drawing will be on November 19th. The entry deadline for that, though, is November 15th. So I really encourage our youth, our families, our guardians, to take advantage of these programs.
This is not the first time that the state has offered an incentive program. How have they been working so far?
You know, they've been great. No, this isn't the first, and this isn't even the only one happening right now. We still have an incentive program happening out at the MSP location to enter into drawings to win a Sun Country voucher, flight voucher. We still have our community partners that are offering in-person $50 gift cards, tens of gift cards in partnership with local public health, too. We have a lot of incentive programs going on right now at the same time. And we've been seeing that, you know, it's really encouraging to see how well that they've been working in drawing youth and drawing families out to vaccine sites. And it's just that extra little special something. Even if that's what it takes to get someone to get vaccinated, we are happy to do it.
Everyone, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebolt. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for Equity and Engagement with the Minnesota Department of Health. Do you get a sense, as we are moving into the 19th month now of this pandemic, that the, as Dr. Nathan Chomolo likes to say, the vaccine hesitancy is starting to wane a bit, even though there's still a nationwide, still 65 million people who need to be vaccinated?
Sure. You know, I think it's the thing with these vaccines is they remain from the beginning a very individual experience. And so while we have been trying to diversify, like you just mentioned, all of these different incentives, you know, that might convince one person, but it might not convince someone else, right? Or it might not encourage, shouldn't say convince, but encourage someone else. And so what we've been doing and what we continue to do is really to diversify the way that we're reaching into community, whether it's with community partnerships, whether it's through, you know, other trusted partners, whether it's through these incentives. We're just trying to figure out all these different ways that'll get even one more person to get vaccinated. And we're seeing that to be true in the work that we're doing. So we're really grateful for that. And we know there's still much more work to do, but we're thankful for everyone that's participated so far. And we're still working on all those who need, again, just that extra little special something, that extra attention, that extra answer to the question to finally get them to say, yes, I'm ready to get vaccinated.
The take rate with the 12 to 17 year olds is not what the state was looking at initially by this time. And now students who are 5 to 11 years old are now eligible for all three types of vaccines that are available to us nationwide. How can you help the parents to feel better about this? Because I'm thinking that they're passing along their deliberations to their children. How can you help us to feel better about this overall from a parent's perspective?
Sure. And just like I mentioned, it's such a personal decision. And I can only imagine then as a parent, then making those decisions for your children. So right now we have Pfizer available for our 12 plus population, of course. And on Tuesday, October 26th, the FDA Advisory Committee is meeting to discuss vaccination, Pfizer for our 5 to 11 population. And you know, as a state, we're already preparing for that decision and the ability to use Pfizer on that age group. And, you know, we're expecting that decision certainly, you know, by the first week of November. And I think that it remains a decision that in coordination with that, with your healthcare providers, with a lot of resources here at the state, you know, through our helpline, of course, I think it just, it's determined on each individual child, each individual parent situation. I think that we can trust what we're seeing in the results from these initial vaccine trials that were, you know, really quite successful in giving these 5 to 11-year-olds, one-third of the amount given to our older populations, and that had very positive results in kids. And so I think that as we start to work through some of those initial questions that parents might have, you know, we hope that there's a little bit more comfort in that and knowing that this is something that, you know, it's not only going to protect your child, but protect your family and the community around you.
What do you think Thanksgiving will look like this year compared to last, Elizabeth Ebolt?
Well, you know, the CDC actually was releasing some initial guidance on as we head into this holiday season. And I think that people certainly are more open and just, you know, personal discussions I've had, more open to wanting to celebrate with their family, celebrate with their loved ones. But at the same time, I don't think it's in our best interest to forget the things that we know work. You know, we are still in this pandemic and we're still dealing with it. And people are still susceptible. We still have Delta, you know, running around doing its thing and still, you know, wreaking havoc. And so we want to make sure that, again, you know, you get vaccinated. If you're eligible right now to get vaccinated, you know, please get vaccinated. You know, celebrate outdoors when possible. If indoors, you know, wear a face mask if that's you know, you don't really know the status of all the people in your location. And, you know, don't host events if you're feeling sick, and attending events if you feel sick. You know, just be cautious. Do all those things. Wash your hands. You know, keep distance if possible. Do all those things that we know will work so we can hopefully weather this and get out on the other side without some of the same issues that we saw last year.
Finally, let's talk about boosters. I know that all three, the mRNA and also the Johnson & Johnson are now eligible for boosters. What can you tell us about that? Help our listeners who are trying, they're wondering whether or not I should mix or match. What is the final say? What does the Department of Health say?
Sure. So yes, that was the big dominating news last week, was that now we have booster authorization for Moderna, Pfizer, and J&J. Pfizer already, of course. For Moderna, its booster eligibility aligns with what was already allowed for Pfizer. So that was, if you're at least 6 months after your initial two-dose regimen, you can get a booster. If you're 65 and older, if you're 18 and older and have underlying medical or health conditions, if you're 18 and older and live in long-term care facilities, and 18 and older and work or live in other settings that put you at high risk for contracting COVID-19. For Johnson & Johnson, it's more straightforward. If you're 18 and older, you can get a J&J booster at least 2 months after your initial shot. Now, to your point about the mixing or matching, I know that that was, you know, that was a big component of the announcement of what people were watching for. And basically they said, if you want to get a booster of the same brand as your initial shot, that's great. If you want to get a booster from a different brand than your initial shot, that's also allowed and totally up to you. And that's something that you can discuss with your healthcare provider if you have additional questions or concerns. And I know that that has created some confusion around the mixing or matching, with some additional studies coming out about, you know, following up J&J with Moderna, for example, or an mRNA vaccine. And all of that is really just to say, it's up to the individual to decide. And, you know, we want to make sure that you are making the decision that's right for you. Turn to your healthcare provider if you have questions, if you have concerns. So far, the experts on all this have shared that there's no real evidence that mixing different vaccines causes any harm or severe side effects. And ultimately, any of the approved booster shots will increase the number of antibodies in your system to help fight off the infection. And so that's really the bottom line. And I think, it, again, we just want this to be a very individual, personal decision. But if you're eligible to get a booster, please, you know, do your part and get your booster.
Well said. We have to leave it right there. That's Elizabeth Ebolt. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for Equity and Engagement at the Minnesota Department of Health. This is New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone. Thank you for being with us this morning. And now our title sponsor with AARP Minnesota is their director, is Kathy McClear on New Beginnings. She is the newly minted AARP Minnesota State Director. Good morning, Kathy, and welcome back.
Good morning, and thank you for having me again.
It's our pleasure, and it's so exciting this time of the year. We get to talk about one of your premier events, the 50 over 50 community event, highlighting those who are doing some wonderful work as volunteers in our community.
Yes, this is our 50 over 50 program. And really, Freddie, this is all on the premise that we all have something to learn and something to teach. And that certainly does not stop after the age of 50. And in fact, as we age, our propensity to try new things and embrace failure and evolve, that just grows even stronger. And since 2016, AARP Minnesota and Pollen have been celebrating that hope, the resilience, and the contributions of those who are age 50 and older, what they do to really work tirelessly and make Minnesota better for all of us. And we're so excited to bring the next iteration in this series to all of Minnesota.
Everyone, we're talking with Kathy McClear. She is AARP's Minnesota State Director. We're talking about 50 over 50 conversations on aging well. Tell us about the event that's taking place on Tuesday, November 16th. I understand it's virtual. We understand why. Tell us about that event if you can.
Yeah, it is virtual, and that means everybody in your listening area has that opportunity to join us and really participate. And we are so excited for this next event. We are so lucky to have Diana Pierce. Many of your listeners know from many years ago, she was an anchor at Care 11. And here's the inside scoop, Freddie. I worked at WCCO-TV as a producer when Diana Pierce was on the air. So I am super excited to have her now part of this really important program. Diana Pierce is a household name. She retired after more than 30 years of delivering the news to people and asking, what's next? And this is so fortunate for AARP because we have Diana Pierce moderating this conversation with many of our past 50 over 50 honorees, addressing how people can age well, how they can continue contributing in their communities, how they can continue to give back, how they can continue to make a difference at 50, at 60, at 70, and well beyond. And so we are so excited to have Diana Pierce joining us for this really fantastic conversation.
Will this be happening live? Is it pre-recorded, or will we be hearing this as is going on? What's the format?
It will be live as it happens,
wow.
People are invited to join. And even if you can't join right at the beginning, feel free to join midway or partway through the conversation. We will have a number of panelists that Gail will be, having kind of that chat style interview with. And these are all individuals who have been honored through our 50 over 50 program in the past. These are people who are disrupting ideas about what it means to age. These are people who are business owners and, didn't stop working and didn't stop contributing after they turned 50. These are people who have been contributors to the arts in Minnesota, and really just making a difference and proving that we don't have to adhere to the belief that you have to be young to blaze a trail or to shake things up. And really, in many cases, age can be an advantage when it comes to improving the lives of others and our communities. And these folks that you're going to hear from during our event really demonstrate that in every way of the meaning.
We don't have time to get into all the bios of all four people who will be on the panel for you that day. But can you tell us how to register for this wonderful event?
Yes, you can go to 50over50mn.org, or the easier way to do that is go to aarp.org/mn. And I'll say that again, aarp.org/mn. And if you look under our events tab, that's the easiest way to register for this event and participate in this really inspiring conversation.
Is there a cost?
There is no cost to attend. We want people to join us. We want people to hear these stories. And for anyone who's participated in any of our past 50 over 50 celebrations, you know, this is a little different because it is our virtual world. But we're celebrating these past awardees in these smaller virtual ceremonies to really connect the community and to connect with one another and really to change that conversation on aging. So these are all individuals who have mastered the art of aging well through their volunteer efforts, through the arts, through their business work, and just really individuals who share that passion for community across Minnesota.
It's 50 over 50 Conversations on Aging Well, taking place Tuesday, November 16th. It's for all of the next 50 over 50 virtual community. And Dinah Pierce will be the moderator. It's 11:45. The conversation start. Connections start at 1 p.m. It's for the honorees only. I'm just telling you so that you know and you're listening to New Beginnings. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. Let's talk about your money now on New Beginnings. Credit, debit card details are protected. If you're a patron of a particular merchant, you might find that it makes the process smoother, enabling faster future transactions if you allow it to store your card information. That's well and good, but can a retailer store your credit card details without permission? When you shop online, you will likely receive a prompt from the site asking if you would like to save your card information to make it easier to shop in the future. That's one way for the merchant to lure you back for future purchases. You might even find that the website is set up so that it becomes easier for you to complete your transactions when you save your card information. Merchants would also like to save your card information when you have a recurring charge. That way, they can automatically bill you every month without having to get your card information. There are laws related to consumer privacy, data security, and identity theft that could require a merchant to get your permission to store your card information for such purchases. In addition, there are various state laws dealing with credit card fraud, falling under the umbrella of financial transaction card fraud. That's why merchants will typically ask your permission to store your card information. In Georgia, for example, a merchant cannot use your card without your permission or authorization. Given such laws, it seems there's no incentive for a merchant to store your card information without permission. Additionally, there are deterrents to such activity, such as the security standards set out by the Payment Card Industry Security Standards Council. I know that's a mouthful. But according to this body, organizations accepting payment cards are expected to protect cardholder data and prevent their unauthorized use, whether that data is printed or stored locally or transmitted over a public network to a remote server or service provider. The association also states that, in general, no cardholder data should ever be stored unless it's necessary to meet the needs of the business. In addition, the council says a merchant should limit storing and retaining customer data to only the time required for business or legal purposes. The standards allow merchants to store your account number, your name, and the card's expiration date, according to the guidelines I just stated. However, the body frowns on a merchant storing a card verification value, that's the three-digit number on the back, or your PIN number. The Federal Trade Commission also is saying that merchants should not collect data that they don't need. Just trying to help you to protect your money this weekend on New Beginnings. And as we continue talking about your money, how about a way to repair an overdrawn account? Experiencing an overdrawn bank account can be stressful. Since banks can charge an overdraft fee multiple times a day, fees can add up quickly, piling on to the negative balance and to your stress. The consequences of overdrawing can be serious, so it's essential to fix your account as soon as you can. The bank may temporarily suspend or even close your account. A closure could go on your record with Check Systems, an agency that tracks customers who have had problems with their bank accounts. This could make it difficult for you to open future bank accounts, says Bruce McClary, who is a senior vice president of communications for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Now, here are some steps you can take to recover after an overdrawn account and tips to avoid overdrafts in the future. Number one, make a transfer to cover the charges. If you have cash in another account, transfer it to cover the deficit and avoid additional fees. That should be the first step you take. That, according to Andrea Beshears Lusk, a certified financial planner and president and founder of Wise Financial Counsel in Fort Washington, Maryland. For example, some banks charge a fee for having a negative balance for consecutive days, and that fee could be charged multiple times. Number two, ask your bank for a refund. If your bank doesn't automatically waive fees for some overdrafts, call your bank and ask for a refund. The bank could be gracious and refund you, especially if it's your first time or not a recurring issue. McClary also recommends taking another step when you call the bank. She says, discuss how you can avoid overdrawing again, and most banks and credit unions will be willing to help you. You might also consider contacting a nonprofit credit counseling agency to get free help on your entire financial situation. And then number three, stop using that account. Stop using the account, period, Beshears Lusk says. The action will also include one-time and recurring transactions, which are tricky to keep track of and could overdraw your account even more. While figuring out expenses versus your cash flow, she recommends using a prepaid debit card to manage spending. To pay bills that require payments from a bank account, she says, pay by money order. Step number three, use tips to avoid overdrafts. And once you have fixed an overdrawn account, you can take a few critical steps to prevent overdrawing again. Number one is track your expenses. You don't have to physically balance a checkbook, but you should have some way of tracking expenses. Balancing your checkbook and budgeting don't necessarily mean you have to stick to a spreadsheet. Several budgeting apps could work. Next, use low balance alerts. Automated alerts can help you to avoid overdrawing an account. You can specify a threshold for a low balance and set up an alert to notify you when the account has reached that balance. And then reconsider overdraft protection. Overdraft protection transfer are an optional service that lets you move money from a linked account to your checking account to cover transactions that would overdraw your account. These transfers are typically cheaper than an overdraft charge and free at some banks, but if they are not free, they are a vital charge to consider. It's good to have overdraft protection if cash flow is tight and you're using the bank account as your main account for expenses. But if you're racking up fees because of frequent overdraft protection transfers, you might be better off opting out and having transactions declined. Beth McCarter, a teacher who lives outside of Dallas and tutors online, says she's strongly opposed to overdraft protection after her experience with her first bank account in college. She says within a single day, she had accrued $500 in overdraft protection fees. She says while it sucks to be in line and have a cart full of things and have your card declined, she says she'd rather take that than all those fees. And then finally, choose a right bank account. A fundamental way to avoid adding to the damage of an overdrawn bank account is to choose a bank that doesn't charge overdraft fees or offers alternatives to costly overdraft coverage. If you select one of these bank accounts, overdrawing won't be an issue. Trying to help you protect your money this weekend on New Beginnings, reminding you to listen every weekend at this time on your favorite radio station, I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Joe McKenzie, how can we avoid the myopic career search?
We can avoid the myopic job search by looking at your career, looking back, look at your marketable skills and your pattern of achievement, and bring those forward to see what's marketable today. And that will help you avoid the unimaginative narrow-minded, short-sighted approach to a job search. Bring those attributes, those accomplishments forward, and I'm confident that you're going to find new opportunities out there that you may have never thought of.
For more information, how can we reach Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Every year, millions of people call on Silent Unity for prayer support. So it has provided a rich opportunity for research into the benefits of prayer. In addition to physical benefits to the body, prayer can support peace of mind and heart. Our soul life or inner life can experience the release of anxiety and the empowerment of hope and inspiration. Third, our spirit. That which we consider to be our essential self, our higher truth, the very core of our existence, is also benefited by prayer that focuses on our connection with the infinite, the everlasting, the all possibility of life, existence itself. Paul described it for the people of Athens, as he spoke, God, in which we live and move and have our very being. In other words, we are linked to the very source of our life, our existence, and therefore there is an eternal state to our existence. Prayer focuses our awareness on our eternal nature, ourself. When we pray for others, several results are possible. Prayer can free our mind from any limited thoughts we have held for others. Our daily word today and the scriptural account of the raising of Lazarus is a great example of that idea. To loose and let go. To free our own minds from any limited idea we have held about another, a group of people, a community, a nation. To set our own mind free from any limit that we have held others in. Prayer also expands our appreciation for the other. It increases our love for the other. Suddenly we see them in their truth, in their greater reality. And whatever challenge they may be seeing and experiencing in their life, we can catch a higher vision of what is possible in their life, the healing and the opportunities that are unfolding for them. Prayer establishes the other in unlimited potential. We behold all that is possible for them. We see them in a greater, more expansive way. What a tremendous gift to pray with someone, to see them in their higher truth, rather than to hold ideas about them that keep them down, so to speak, in our own mind. Prayer is like any human activity. It is an expression or a manifestation of our very design. In the physical human being, we can see the neural network, the connections of neurons that create communication within our brain and our nervous system. Prayer can be seen as a similar connection of thoughts concerning ourselves, others, and the world. Prayer builds a pattern of ideas, a pattern of potential, in other words. Remember our theme song, "Our Thoughts Are Prayers." Listen to what you're saying about yourself, others, or the world. Now give me a little latitude here. I'm going to go into a deep thought. In some esoteric spiritual teachings, this pattern of thought, this network of ideas we hold, are considered to be the pathway by which spiritual forces can unfold and heal and uplift the person or the circumstance held in prayer. This is understood in many ways, but just one example that some consider is that the archangel Michael is said to work for us only within our thoughts and actions. Only within our thoughts and actions. This angelic force can only work through the deeds and actions that we take. Therefore, we create the opening for spiritual help by the conscious thoughts we consistently hold. In our prayers, we create a pathway of possibility that spiritual powers can flow to aid our prayer focus. This is just an indication of the spiritual activity within the prayer process. Now let me stop the descriptions and let us enter into a time of prayer experience. Now it's not necessary to be a prayer expert. It is only necessary to be willing to stop our outer actions, calm our body and soul, and recognize our very existence in life itself in what we call God, the omnipotent good. There are many methods we can use, but let's just start with Unity's 5-step method of prayer. I'll give the process an outline, but of course you have to inwardly experience the process. You can choose to focus on your highest good or the perfect potential for the individual or the circumstance you are praying with. So I'll simply outline these 5 steps. If you choose, you may close your eyes. But begin with the first step, relaxation. To gently center your attention in your rhythmic breathing and your heartbeat. To become one with that rhythm that sustains you, moment by moment, day by day, year by year. Step 2, concentration. Focus your thought and feeling on a life principle, such as, I am a part of the ever-evolving, everlasting life process. Or I envision the highest possibility for the one I hold in prayer. this individual or circumstance will move in their perfect way in the direction of their highest good.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.